Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In today's show, I'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis as we just tapped the highest monthly close in Bitcoin history. I'm also going to be sharing Tether boosting their Bitcoin reserves with their latest acquisition, the acquisition of 8,888 Bitcoin, baby, making them the seventh largest Bitcoin hodler. We'll also be discussing Tron argues that the SEC is not a worldwide regulator and the lawsuit goes too far. We're also going to be discussing a $100 trillion investor class starting to move into Bitcoin and crypto, according to the Bitwise CIO, Matt Hougan, as well as LMAX CEO, expects Bitcoin to trade in the six-digit territory. I'll be breaking down his timeline, as well as breaking news. BlackRock and Fidelity ETF bombshell triggers a massive $75 trillion market cap prediction. That's right. ARK Invest's Cathie Wood is predicting 1.5 million by the year 2027 and now projecting 3.8 million by this specific date. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market. All this plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1596. I'm your host, JV, and welcome to quarter two of 2024. It is April 1st, 2024, halving looming in roughly 3 weeks. Make some noise for that. Let's kick it off with our market watch, as we do each and every day, pulling up Coin 360. You should be able to see on your screen. We got Bitcoin correcting along with most of the alt market. Bitcoin trading above 68,500 at the time of the live stream. Yesterday, we surpassed 71,300-ish for the monthly close, making it the strongest monthly close in Bitcoin history. You can see Ether correcting and all the rest of the major alts, and checking out CoinMarketCap.com. We're sitting on a 2.64 trillion market cap with roughly 87 billion in volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance at 52% even with the Ether dominance at 16.2%. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours. We got Core up 55%, Jupe up 10%. Wasn't there a cologne called Jupe back in the day? I remember that one when I was in high school, fam. You guys remember a little Jupe? A little, what was my other favorite one? I think it was like Cool Water. Yeah, Cool Water cologne was the bomb diggity. Anyways, Bitcoin Cash up 6% and Aptos up 4%. Below that, we have BitGet and Unised Leo. Not many gainers, as I would say approximately 90% of the top 100 are correcting and in the red. But which alts in particular are you guys most bullish on for this bull run? Holla at your boy. And checking out the crypto bubbles to get more of a visual perspective. Core up 53%, Jupe up, and virtually everything else correcting and in the red. But zooming out on the monthly, y'all must have forgot we've had a hell of an alt season. Many of these meme coins are still up hundreds of percent, as you can see on the screen. And checking out the Crypto Greed and Fear Index, we're back in extreme greed at a 79. Yesterday, 75. Last week, a 75. And last month, an 80. Why do we look at this metric each and every day? The higher this number goes, the more likely of a correction. And lo and behold, we just hit extreme greed and had another correction. And checking out the Bitcoin halving countdown, 17 days left to go. Let's go. We're roughly 18. This calculates readjusting by the minute because it goes by the block height. Currently, we're on block 837,000. Once we hit 840,000, that's when the halving occurs. The scheduled date currently, April 19th. I'm going to just throw out there. I think it's going to happen on 420 just for the sake of 420. Happy 420. money. Shout out to the fam. But anyways, fam, checking out the time chain calendar. As you can see on your screen, it shows you the block we're currently at, 837,264. And it also shows you the conversion that for $1, one USD, you can get 1,460 Satoshis. But I'm telling you, fam, take advantage of it while you still can, because before you know it, it's going to be less than 1,000 sats for a dollar, less than 500 sats for a dollar, and before you know it, less than 100 sats for a dollar. With the Bitcoin market cap today at 1.35 trillion. Let's go. But anyways, family, welcome everyone just joining the stream. Pump the likes, pump the stream, and make some motherfucking noise. We discussed our market analysis. Now let's check out a little Bitcoin TA and what's happening in the market, the five things to watch out for specifically in the market this week. But first, I want to show you the March closing price was 71,285 as outlined here by Plan B of the Stock to Flow model, a new all-time high before the halving. You're damn straight. So Bitcoin continues making new records. Also, the hash rate continues going wild. I think we're 3x the hash rate from the previous all-time high of 69,000 back in 2021. So let that sink in. But now for the five things to watch out for in the Bitcoin market this week. Take it away. Bitcoin, to all intents and purposes, delivered for the bulls at the end of quarter one. You could say that again. As just below 70,300, the March 31st weekly, monthly, and quarterly close became its highest in history. A predictable retracement followed, however, following TradingView showing local lows of 68.9 coming hours later. You can see the dump here on the 1 hour chart. So on the short time frames, Bitcoin thus remains caught in a range that was already familiar from last month, 69 G's, baby. It's the old all-time high, as we know from 2021, which continues to act as a market focus. And quoting Skoo, he says, going to be more observant here before jumping into position. So far, 4 hour trend is still intact. We'll be looking for the market to maintain this with sufficient spot buying and per bid for momentum. And also, as outlined here, the biggest high time frame level for now is 69,000. The monthly and weekly open will be important later. So there you go. And quoting Rack Capital, weekly close above the range high is the first step, and a Bitcoin needs to dip into the RH to successfully retest it as new support before continuing higher. That would be the second step to fully confirming the breakout. Now, here's another factor to watch out for. Powell unemployment lead U.S. macro diary. As you know, the fresh appearance from Fed Chairman Jay Powell forms one highlight for the upcoming U.S. macro week. Powell will deliver prepared remarks April 3rd. So that's going to be Wednesday, family, joining several other senior Fed officials throughout the week. Now, this week's data, meanwhile, centers on non-farm payrolls, a release that recently contributed to the Bitcoin price volatility, which is due April 5th. Quoting them here, U.S. employment data is due on Friday, and just like the prior U.S. data points, FOMC, an opportunity to pick up some cheap tokens could be ahead. Quoting TED Talks Crypto, currently the market is on par with the Fed at three cuts price for the end of the year. As with inflation data, employment data will move the markets on any significant miss. And the Kibisi letter highlights all the significant events this week. I'm not going to read them all out loud, but you can see them here on your screen. Now for the next factor, Bitcoin long-term hodlers become active sellers. That's right. As Bitcoin sets new records on the charts, the long-term hodlers, the smart money, are wasting little time and taking profit. What was first a trickle is now gaining pace. On-chain data shows Bitcoin's diamond hands are no longer on the sidelines. In the latest edition of the weekly on-chain newsletter from Glassnode, they revealed a fresh peek into realized profits. These refer to coins moving on-chain from two investor cohorts, which are the short-term hodlers and long-term hodlers. The short-term hodlers are entities hodling coins less than 155 days, reflecting the more speculative end of the Bitcoin investor spectrum. Meanwhile, the long-term hodlers, by contrast, are those willing to hodl Bitcoin with more conviction. And I'm going to assume everyone here is a long-term hodler. If you're tuned in daily to crypto news alerts, let me know if that's accurate, family. Now, quoting them here from this, analysts can start to consider long-term hodlers as an increasingly important cohort when assessing the magnitude of sell-side supply pressure moving forward. Now for the next factor to keep your eyes out on, Bitcoin price near identical to December 2020. That's right, the previous halving. Glassnode unveiled what it calls remarkable similarity, deja vu, fam, between the current Bitcoin price action and the previous bull market of 2021. Overlaying this year's performance against the previous cycle shows that 2011 to 2013 cycle as a clear outlier outlier, as outlined here. Now, this in turn challenges the concept that institutional interest has delivered a new Bitcoin price paradigm this year. Quoting them here, if we index price performance since the April 2021 all-time high, we can see a remarkable similarity to the prior cycle, they explain. By both duration and distance from the April 2021 peak, the market is in a near identical spot to December 2020's relative to the 2018-2021 cycle, as outlined here in this chart. Now, December 2020 marked a launch pad moment for Bitcoin, which took off from the prior all-time highs to enter price discovery after first retesting them for roughly 2 weeks. And this year, nonetheless, marks the first instance of an all-time high coming immediately before a block subsidy halving. That's right, the three previous halvings, we always hit the all-time high for the cycle, or I should say broke the previous all-time high for the cycle after the halving. So this is the first time in halving history we broke the previous all-time high pre-halving. So keep that in mind. Now for the next factor to keep your eyes out on, gold stocks prep crypto bullish divergence. That's right. The crypto market sentiment is increasingly anticipating a shot at price discovery across all the markets. The latest readings from the Crypto Greed and Fear Index reveal the return of extreme greed, as I pointed out earlier. This has come independent of a market price uptick, suggesting that should the bull market deliver snap upside, the traders could become increasingly irrational. Now, fear and greed has remained steadily above levels seen during the 2021 all-time highs, but still with room to increase before entering levels synonymous with cross-market corrections. And in fact, as I pointed out, we've even hit as high as a 90 on the Crypto Greed and Fear Index earlier in the year. And right after, we actually corrected 10,000. That's why we keep such a close eye on it. Now, also, I wanted to point out, quoting Joe Burnett, assuming the future average portfolio allocation is 80% Bitcoin, Bitcoin would be worth 4x all equities, real estate, bonds, gold, etc. Now pay attention, since everything else will still exist and is worth $900 trillion today, referring to the total addressable market, Bitcoin would be three, I don't even know this number, let me think. I think this is that 3.6 trillion or is that even higher? What's the next level up? I think we're talking maybe 36 trillion, not sure. But nonetheless, the price action is what I'm focused on. He's ultimately saying if everyone basically allocates 80% into Bitcoin from the total addressable market, we could see $171 million Bitcoin. That's officially, I think, the largest prediction I've ever seen, minus a few of those billion-dollar predictions we have covered on the show from Fidelity's head of macro, Jurian Timmer, and one of the other guys. I think his name was Peter Dunsworth. But nonetheless, could you imagine $171 million Bitcoin? But anyways, fam, next story of the day. Let's discuss the latest with Tether. Check this. Tether boosts Bitcoin reserves with their latest acquisition. Tether just bought 8,888 more biddies. We're at 629 million. They now hold 5.2 billion in Bitcoin. Another headline, Tether completes the gold standard security audit. So I told you guys, Tether USDT is the real deal. I told you guys to beware of Circle's USDC because I remember so much FUD against Tether. But Tether, as I mentioned, it's the real deal. The company behind Tether stablecoin acquired 8,888 biddies, worth 618 million March 31st. Following the acquisition, Tether's wallet now holds 75,354 Bitcoin, bought at an average price of 30 G's, worth around 5.2 billion at this time. The wallet is up 128% with a current unrealized profit of almost $3 billion, according to this data from CoinStats. Not too shabby. The acquisition came during a time of heightened institutional interest in Bitcoin due to the approval of the U.S. spot Bitcoin ETFs and the incoming Bitcoin halving, which is set to reduce the block subsidy issuance in just roughly 19 days. Following the acquisition, Tether is now the seventh largest Bitcoin hodler in the world. The seventh wonder, fam. And that's according to the BitInfo charts. Binance's Coal Wallet is the largest Bitcoin hodler with over, 248,000 biddies, worth $17 billion. At this time, the firm said it would invest 15% of its net profit into Bitcoin to diversify the stablecoins backing assets. Tether's USDT reached a record 100 billion market cap on March 4th, posting a 9% year-to-date growth. Now, Bitcoin trades above 69,000, suggesting an end of the pre-halving correction. I agree with that. Quoting Rec Capital, Bitcoin is now peaking beyond its old all-time high, potentially positioning itself for this pre-halving retracement to be over. Amen to that. Now this other story, the independent audit for Tether represents the highest level of security compliance an organization can demonstrate. So respect, they're doing everything the right way. Quoting them here, this compliance measure assures our customers that their assets and data are managed in an environment meeting the highest standards for data protection and information security. This independent validation of security controls is vital for Tether, demonstrating our commitment to being the world's most trusted and compliant stablecoin. Preach. Let's continue. Tron versus the SEC. The SEC won't let me be. Anyways, Tron argues that the SEC, not a worldwide regulator, and the lawsuit goes too far. Let me know if you agree with that. The entity behind the Layer 1 blockchain of Tron asked the New York federal court to dismiss the U.S. SEC lawsuit against it, arguing the U.S. regulator targeting predominantly foreign conduct. Quoting them here, the SEC is not a worldwide regulator, and its effort to apply U.S. security laws to predominantly foreign conduct goes too far, the Tron Foundation said in a March 28 dismissal motion to the New York federal court. Last March, the SEC sued Justin Sun, the Tron Foundation, file-sharing platform backers, the BitTorrent Foundation, and its San Francisco-based payment firm, Rainberry. The latter two Tron acquired in 2018, alleging its sale of Tron and BitTorrent tokens are unregistered security offerings. Go figure. The Singapore-based Tron said its motion is in that the SEC's case is against foreign digital asset offerings to foreign purchasers on global platforms for which it has no authority. Respect my authority. Tron claimed the tokens were sold entirely overseas, with steps taken to avoid the U.S. market, and that the SEC didn't allege they were offered or sold initially to any U.S. residents. It said the SEC's claims that latter secondary token sales on a U.S.-based platform serving users worldwide were unregistered U.S. securities is tenuous. At best, even if the SEC had the authority, the tokens fail classification as investment contracts under the U.S. SEC classification, the Howey test, Tron argued. Now, in its suit, the SEC also claimed that Sun, a Chinese-born Grenadian citizen, engaged in manipulative wash trading, where one entity buys and sells a token to stimulate market activity, and secretly paid celebrities, including Soulja Boy and Akon, to promote the tokens. Quoting him here, no particularized facts show that the trades were actually wash trades, wrongfully executed for illegitimate purposes, Tron wrote in its motion. The SEC also does not allege a single victim. Tron's other arguments include that the SEC failed to detail factual allegations laying out each defendant's role in each claim and relied on generalizations and conclusions to support its already thin, frequently indiscriminate claims. For example, although the SEC purports to allege fraud, no material misstatement is alleged, leaving defendants to speculate on the precise basis of those claims. Tron also argued that case should be dismissed under the major question doctrine, a Supreme Court ruling saying Congress will pass laws and not give authority to the regulators. Yeah, right. What world are we living in there? Which other crypto firms, including Kraken, Coinbase, have cited in the SEC lawsuit dismissal bids? The SEC should file its own response to Tron's motion within 2 weeks. The SEC did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the dismissal motion. Of course not. You got no Claire Gare as the chairman in charge. You're not going to get any clarity whatsoever. But what are your thoughts? Do you think that the SEC is overreaching against Tron and trying to be this worldwide regulator for unregistered securities? Let me know your honest thoughts. Anyways, fam, pump the likes, pump the stream. Let's dive into our next story of the day, shall we? Let's discuss this $100 trillion market moving into Bitcoin, shall we? Here we go. The Bitwise CIO, Matt Hogan, says a cohort of investors holding $100 trillion in wealth is in the early stages of getting Bitcoin and crypto exposure. In a weekly memo to investment professionals, the executive of a Bitcoin spot market ETF issuer says Bitcoin is in the midst of a raging bull market. Anytime I hear that word raging, I think of the raging bull. A throwback. That was Jake LaMotta back in the day. Remember the movie? Martin Scorsese, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro. He played Jake LaMotta. One of my favorite movies growing up. It just brings back memories. Let me know if you've seen it. According to Hugen, the deep-pocketed investment professionals now have access to Bitcoin and crypto following the launch of the spot Bitcoin ETFs in January. Quoting them here, these investor controls tens of trillions of dollars. Globally, the best estimate is over 100 trillion, and they're just starting to move into crypto. This is a process that will take years, not months. Hugen says that Bitcoin ETFs are collectively the most successful ETF launch of all time. That's fact. After witnessing inflows of $12 billion in just 3 months. And BlackRock now has the lion's share, over 250,000 Bitties family. But the Bitwise exec says that the $12 billion of inflows are just a drop in the bucket compared to what's coming. Quitting them again. But imagine global wealth managers allocate just 1% of their portfolio to Bitcoin on average. It's not crazy. While past performance is no guarantee of the future results, a 2.5% allocation to Bitcoin has enhanced a traditional 60-40 portfolio risk-adjusted returns in every three-year period in Bitcoin history. A 1% allocation across the board would mean $1 trillion of inflows into the space. Against this, $12 billion is barely a down payment. 1% down, 99% to go. And reminder from a little earlier, I mentioned if we got 80% portfolio allocation into Bitcoin with the total addressable market, we could potentially see 171 million per coin. So you already know. Anyways, family, keep the likes a coming. Let's just dive right into our next story of the day. Still got a lot to cover. We're going to discuss this $150,000 target. Then we're going to be discussing the latest from all the broskies' favorite, Kathy Wood. So pump the likes for Kathy Wood. Can ya? Please? Will ya? Let me know. Anyways, the headline here reads, LMAX CEO expects Bitcoin to trade in the six-digit territory in the future. I mean, who wouldn't expect Bitcoin to trade in six figures? I digress. But anyways, LMAX Group CEO David Mercer discussed the Bitcoin future and the influence of the surge in demand for the spot Bitcoin ETFs in a recent interview with CNBC. Now, LMAX Group is a global financial technological company and a leading independent operator of multiple institutional execution venues for FX and crypto trading. Mercer explained that if Bitcoin becomes a standard portfolio allocation, which we all know it will, with 3-5% of people's portfolios or the assets in the world being allocated into Bitcoin, we see a dramatic price increase, quoting him here, based purely on supply and demand. And we have never seen anything like this before. Preach, quoting him again. You should see the price of Bitcoin being multiples of what it is today. I do think on a longer time horizon, 5 years, 10 years, then certainly this will be trading in six digits rather than five digits as it is today. Now, JV disagrees. I don't think it's going to take 5 to 10 years to trade in six digits. I think clearly 5 to 10 years will be in seven digits, but six digits we're likely going to see this year. Worst case scenario, if it wasn't this year, absolutely by next year. But what are your thoughts, fam? Let me know. Now, commenting on the impact of the spot Bitcoin ETFs and the subsequent appetite of crypto, he shared, if you look at all the institutions we cover within the group, we trade with 35 of the world's top 40 banks, all the major proprietary trading firms of the world, over 200 brokers. The group that we have excluded historically have been the banks. He added, they could trade the futures, but they couldn't trade the physical. What you're seeing now is the underlying of these ETFs is the physical, the executive elaborated. I think overall, this democratizes the asset class for everyone. It opens up market access from retail all the way up to institutional. It means that even the high net worth desks, the private wealth desks in the banks, can now offer products which give you direct exposure to the asset class. The LMAX chief executive continued, I think over time, as all the institutions become more comfortable with the behavior of the asset class, you're going to see people getting closer to the asset itself and owning the core asset, which is Bitcoin or Ethereum or Solana. Meanwhile, a number of people are increasingly bullish on Bitcoin, predicting significant price hikes post upcoming halving. Standard Chartered Bank, for example, raised its Bitcoin price prediction for this year from $100,000 to $150,000 per coin. Send it. Also, the Bitwise CIO said that in the long term, his firm believes that Bitcoin is a raging bull market, as I just pointed out with the previous story. Let me know if you agree or disagree for the raging bull, BTC. Holla. All right, now for our feature story of the day, the latest from Kathy Wood. We're going to be discussing a couple of headlines. Number one, BlackRock and Fidelity ETF bombshell triggers a massive 75 trillion Bitcoin market cap prediction. Also, Kathy Wood says 1.5 million Bitcoin price explosion on the table by 2027. Remember, initially she was predicting by 2030. Well, she's gotten that much more bullish. So let's break this baby down, shall we? And broskies, please pump the likes and show Kathy Wood some love. This is for you guys. Anyways, family. Let's get right into it. Scrolling down. Here we go. Last year, and this is quoting Kathy Wood, we put our bull case for Bitcoin at 1.5 million. And she shared that on stage at the New York Bitcoin Investor Day conference, reported by Business Insider. And continuing on, with this institutional green light and that the SEC provided, kicking and screaming, though it did, the analysis we have done is that if institutional investors would allocate a little more than the 5% of their portfolios into Bitcoin, as we think they will over time, that alone would add 2.3 million to the projection I just gave you. Damn straight. Now, Wall Street giants BlackRock and Fidelity, BlackRock, the largest asset manager in the world, roughly $10 trillion in assets under management. Fidelity is in the top five. I know they have roughly $4.5 trillion in assets under management. I believe it's Vanguard that's number two. Anyways, they emerged as the two largest of the new Bitcoin ETF issuers. And in fact, BlackRock just surpassed 250,000 Bitcoin in their stash, surpassing the stash of MicroStrategy, which took 4 years to accumulate and have 1% of the circulating supply. Just saying. Now, Wood's own ARK 21 shares Bitcoin ETF now holds almost 40,000 Bitcoin worth $2 billion on behalf of investors. Wood's new Bitcoin price prediction can see Bitcoin hitting 3.8 million per coin by 2030, a massive near 6,000% increase from the current price action. Quoting her again, we think Bitcoin has miles to go. We're at the very beginning of really putting in place the financial ecosystem native to the internet and disintermediating all of the toll takers. So there you go. Now, she also says, rather than solely attributing Bitcoin's current fluctuations to the impending halving, we suggest a nuanced view, considering factors like spot Bitcoin ETF flows, evolving miner profitability, post-halving, and general market psychology. With high greed levels on pretty much all fronts, she said in an email with the comments, with more Bitcoin retracements potentially looming and historical patterns indicating potential turbulence, we advise investors to tread carefully while exploring opportunities amid the uncharted territory for the 2024 halving. Now for this other headline on the 1.5 million coming by 2027. This was an interview she did roughly a month ago, projecting Bitcoin hitting 1.5 million by 2027. According to Wood, institutional investors will increasingly turn their attention towards the king crypto as its path strays away from traditional assets, eventually causing it to skyrocket. Quoting her here, the forecast was, our bull case was 1.5 million in 5 years. So that would have been 2027. We still have time and we still think that's going to be right. But if you look at the institutional push into Bitcoin, this new asset class, they have to consider its fiduciaries. When you use those code words, new asset class, flight to safety. What it means, the correlation of these returns are very low compared to those other assets. Since Bitcoin supply is capped at 21 million and institutional investors are now taking it more seriously, Wood says Bitcoin is now in a position to increase its price quicker than ever before. Quoting her here, what are we saying? There are 19.6 million Bitcoin out there right now, and the highest it'll ever go, 21 million. Well, okay. There's real scarcity value. And what is going to happen? The price increase for every institutional dollar pushing in now is going to be much higher than it was last year or 2 years ago. And let me know if you agree first and foremost. And also, if you want to watch the actual interview she did, check the show notes below the video in the description. And let's discuss this. $3.8 million Bitcoin by 2030, $1.5 million Bitcoin by 2027. Do you feel this is probable? Do you think it's realistic? Or just another pipe dream of people taking hits from the hopium bong? Let me know your honest thoughts. I personally feel 1 million is in the cards. 1 million can potentially happen this year. Unprecedented times, right? It's 2024. No one knows how low that dollar will continue to drop because of inflation, hyperinflation, which can lead to hyper-Bitcoinization, factors we must at least consider. Also, these Bitcoin ETF inflows are not slowing down anytime soon. In fact, it's more like a snowball effect. They're continuing to increase. What's going to happen when we get more ETF adoption, more game theory playing out? Hong Kong about to release their spot ETFs. Then we got El Salvador about to launch their ETFs, right? Bitcoin halving looming 3 weeks away. This is a very special time. If you're new to crypto, here's what's going to happen. Bitcoin's going to go parabolic, preceding the halving, as it always has all the previous cycles. And in fact, what makes this cycle a little different, as I mentioned a little earlier in the stream, for the first time in Bitcoin history, we surpassed the previous all-time high pre-halving. That's right. We broke the 69,000 all-time high we hit back on November 10th of 2021, a few weeks ago. The new top is 73,800, safe to exaggerate a little and round up to 74,000 for the sake of round numbers, right? So we already broke the all-time high for the first time in Bitcoin history pre-halving. What's going to happen post-halving? Something else much different this cycle. Institutional demand, institutional FOMO did not exist 2020-2021. That was purely driven by the retail. I feel the retail haven't even began this cycle. The retail will begin when we hit the six-figure mark because people just love buying at the top. That's just the nature of the beast. That's human psychology. When Bitcoin was discounted $16,000 in 2022 after the debacle of FTX and Luna and everything freaking collapsing in real time, nobody wanted it. They're like, Bitcoin's going to drop to 3,000. Garrett Soloway says so. I'm just going to wait and play it smart. And then these mofos waited, and now Bitcoin's back at 70 Gs, all-time highs. You know what I mean? Sooner than anticipated. So you already know. So yeah, institutional FOMO did not exist previous cycle. Also, nation state adoption. I think it was 2020, 2021. Bukele made Bitcoin a legal tender. Now we have other countries following in the footsteps, doing the same. Now we have Tether and other major companies following the playbook of Bukele and Michael Saylor, launching speculative attacks, purchasing as much Bitcoin as they could, and continuing to grow successfully. This means other companies can do the same. MicroStrategy is just one company. El Salvador is one country. How many countries are there on this planet? I don't know. You tell me. Thousands, if not thousands, there's minimal hundreds, right? How many companies are there in the S&P 500? I like to believe there's 500. And I like to believe that MicroStrategy will become in the S&P 500 because they're almost qualified to do so as well. So how many other countries are going to follow this blueprint? How many other MicroStrategies will it take to acquire just 1% of the Bitcoin supply before we go ham? And when I say ham, parabolic to new all-time highs, six-figure, seven-figure price discovery mode beyond the bear's wildest expectations. Do you know that the hash rate has tripled from the time of the previous all-time high in the previous cycle, yet the price is the same? We're still flirting at 69,000. We were there 3 years ago, right? I'm so bullish. And not even funny. There's so many bullish catalysts. Bitcoin being a hedge against inflation, a hedge against deflation. It's an insurance policy, as Cathie Wood calls it. It's a flight to safety, as the world's largest asset management CEO, Lawrence Fink, calls it. I should say it's unpredictable what's going to happen. So your guess is as good as mine. Thank you. 195 countries, is that all? Does that include territories like Puerto Rico? Let me know. Did you say ham? Yes, I am a vegetarian that just said ham. Hey, it is what it is. But anyways, family, 1 million, easy peasy. Can it happen this year? It's possible. Will it? We'll soon find out. It's going to be a fun run. That's one thing for sure. One thing exciting about crypto, we don't know what to expect. But that's what's so beautiful. Price discovery means this is a moment in time we've never been at before. This is a price action we have never seen. So anything is possible, right? All predictions are doable, right? Some of you guys are saying we're going to drop back down to 40. I wish you the best of luck with that, but I am just too optimistic to believe that, considering all the factors I just laid out for you. Then you got to also consider and calculate sovereign wealth fund adoption on the back of the nation state adoption, right? And how many more billionaires? I mentioned yesterday in the stream, there's roughly 2,500 billionaires in the world. 1,000 of those billionaires are over 70 years old. One of them would be, you know, Donald Trump. How many of those billionaires are going to move into Bitcoin as well? That's where the big money, that's the big money. How many more Ricardo Salinas are going to make the move? How many Tim Drapers are going to make the move? How many Mike Saylors or Max Kaisers are going to make that move next? You already know. What's the alternative? Gold? Wow, $2,200 an ounce. All-time high, guys. Peter Schiff celebrating, doing backflips if he could do a backflip, just saying. But that's not exciting to me. What's exciting is Bitcoin going up 5x this cycle. What's gold going up 5, 10%? Big whoop. I think it's Max Keiser who said, for every dollar gold goes up, Bitcoin will go up $30. So would you rather have a 30x return or a modest 1x return to say you have the physical asset? Who wants the physical asset when you're living in a digital world? Tell any child. I have a child who is 10 years old. And if you say, what would you prefer? All your money in Roblox or fiat currency? She'll say straight up, who cares about fiat currency? I would just take it to buy the freaking Robux. You know what I mean? Because we're living in a digital world. Bitcoin is digital currency. It's currency of the future. It's the currency of the resistance. Who would want a physical asset with a corrupt government that can just take it away from you like they do to Andrew Tate seizing his assets? They can seize everything he has except his Bitcoin, right? What about Ye? You know what I mean? He said some stuff, speaking the truth. Powers that be determined that was a direct threat. He's too influential. Let's freeze his assets. Let's take away his deal. The only thing they can't take away from you, Bitcoin, right? They can take away that Bitcoin ETF, BTC. Just saying. But properly self-custodied Bitcoin is unconfiscatable. Bitcoin is incorruptible. Hence why it's perfect money. There has never been a perfect money like this because every money they just print more of. They create more. They find more. Gold, oh, we'll just dig more up from the dirt, right? Bitcoin, you can't dig more up from the dirt because Satoshi figured this out. Right? It requires computational power from the miners. And we're about to have a supply shock. Something else I didn't even calculate into this prediction. Supply shock incoming in 6 to 12 months as per crypto quant analysts. Why is that? There's only 2 million biddies left to go on the exchanges. And the current daily issuance being awarded to miners is 900. That's about to get cut in half to 450. So when you only got 450 new Bitcoin being awarded per day, right? And a very minimal supply on the exchanges. And you have companies like BlackRock purchasing over 10,000 Bitcoin per day. And that's just one asset manager. What does that tell me? Supply shock. What's going to happen when we have a legitimate supply shock like we've never experienced before in Bitcoin history? Numbers go way up, all the way up. And that's when we can realistically expect these crazy $1 million plus Bitcoin price predictions. But let me know your thoughts, fam. Holla in the live chat. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode. HODL.